Scripture reading this morning will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians 13, 7 through 11. And it reads, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may be seen disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given for me, for edification and not for destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you."
We are indeed thankful to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're going to hurriedly get into our lesson on this morning as we are here to learn more about the maturation of truth and what that is. And when we think about the maturation of truth, we're talking about a process. And every last one of us are striving to be the people that God has called us to be. And to keep in mind that it is a process, but it has to be a process that you are intentionally engaging in. And so this month, we have been talking about the maturing or the maturation of truth in the life of the Christian. And as I was considering some things, I thought about what the Apostle Paul said on many occasions as it relates to truth. He wanted the people of God to be a people that understood that their lives had to be governed by what is true. Appearing approved seems to be the thing today, just appearing approved. Having a semblance of a good life, a semblance of a spiritual marriage, a balanced family, strong faith, a stable mental constitution seems to be the goal for some. Just a semblance, just it looks that way. However, when we consider what truth actually does, it actually shines the light upon the very thing that it is gazed upon. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 1 as we consider some introductory thoughts. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Paul's talking to a congregation that he loved dearly and that loved him. He says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more," notice, "in knowledge and all discernment," meaning good judgment, having an ability to make a distinction, nice distinctions between that which is beauty and that which is not beauty, that which is right and that which is not right, "that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." The word sincere is a very interesting word because it literally means to shine the light upon. And when light is shone upon something, it actually dispels the darkness, but it also reveals the imperfections, which is very interesting that here Paul tells the brethren here that they need to be approving the things that are excellent, that they may be sincere. Sincere. And that caused me to think as it relates to truth and as it relates to maturation and maturing. It requires a sincerity. It requires allowing the light to shine upon your soul, your mind, your life, and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And when we consider these great words from the Apostle Paul that should help us as it relates to maturity, we know that there is a beauty as it relates to truth. There's a great beauty as it relates to truth. For example, in James chapter 1 and verse number 12, when we consider the idea of being approved, and we'll have more to say about this as the lesson progresses, but in James chapter 1 and verse number 12, I want us to focus in on the word tried or approved, depending on your translation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now watch this. For when he has been approved, tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now I want us to think about that, because when one is tempted, usually it is that person is drawn away by their own lust and enticed. And so when they endure the temptation, then the Bible teaches us that that person is approved. That person is approved. When we think about the one who endures temptation, this is the one that has the ability to govern their thoughts. This is the one that has the ability to govern their body. This is the one that has the ability, watch this, to discipline their entire constitution, which involves body, soul, and spirit. Now, I want to give you some passages for everything that I just said. When we think about governing your thoughts, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. When we think about governing the body, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, buffeting his body. But Paul said something interesting as it relates to governing the whole constitution, body, soul, and spirit. And that is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now, that's a very interesting passage there, because the whole body, soul, and spirit must be preserved, must be sanctified for the coming of Jesus Christ. So not just the body and not just the soul, but also the spirit. And so the aspect of all of man must be governed, if you will, that the light must shine upon all of the human being, if you will. And so when we consider this particular idea of being approved, this is very important when it comes to the maturation of truth. Now, y'all stay with me. When we think about that word approved, I want you to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil. Watch this. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. Notice that word approved. When we think about the idea of approved, I want us to take notice. And Brother Stephen, go ahead and put the idea of dokema up on the screen, because I want people to see this. I want you to see this, because it's very important that we have an understanding of what they thought about this particular word, which means to be accepted, pleasing, acceptable, dokemas. In the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today, and no paper money. All money was made from metal, heated until liquid, poured into molds and allowed to cool. When the coins were cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. Now watch this. The coins were comparatively soft, and of course, many people shaved them closely. In one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens to stop the practice of whittling down the coin then in circulation. But some money changers were men of integrity. Now notice that. Some money changers were men of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine full weight money into circulation. Such men were called dokimos. And this word is used here for the Christian as he is to be seen in the world. Now, I want you to think about that, because when we think about the maturation of truth and we think about the idea of being approved and we think about dokimos, friends, God wants us to be a people who are approved. Paul was not merely satisfied with appearing to be approved. Paul wanted the people of God to be a people, notice verse number 7, that are honorable. That are honorable. Now, that's important, because when you think about the word honorable there, it is the idea of virtuous, beautiful, valuable, better, fair, well, and worthy. This is one of the things that Paul was bringing out as it relates to him being an apostle and them being Christians. It caused me to think about, what is Paul talking about here? Because when you look at verse number 7 and the end of verse number 7, he says, though we seemed disqualified. Now, what is he saying there? Because when we stop and we consider one who is approved, we're talking about one who is acceptable. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of James chapter 3 as we continue to develop this thought, and just stay with me. In James chapter 3 and verse number 13, I found it very interesting, this idea, this concept, which is no new thing under the sun, of course. Paul being inspired by the Holy Spirit, James also being inspired by the Holy Spirit, has this to say about a wise and understanding man. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct. That's actually the context of James chapter 3, verses 13 through the end of the chapter. Let him show by good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. We stop and we consider good conduct. Who is one that has good conduct? Literally, the one that has integrity, not the one that seems to be maturing, not the one that seems to be approved. However, the one that is actually approved. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 21, again, Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, has these words to say, worthy of our acceptance and worthy of our imitation. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 21, notice what the Bible says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And so that caused me to think again as it relates to spiritual growth, caused me to think about maturity and maturation. And what does it mean to actually grow? I've said this last week because it was just powerful. My wife and I are talking, and we was talking about how the world, the system of the world, doesn't actually promote growth, not the type of growth that God desires. One can grow in intelligence, they grow in wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from God, that is truly what God has desires for them to be. And so it caused me to think about more things. If you notice in 13 and verse number 7 again, and look at that idea that is about being disqualified. Because the more that we think about this, and hopefully we'll continue to think about it, Paul is saying that we may seem to be disqualified. We may seem to be reprobate, same word in Romans chapter 1. We may seem to be those who are not doing what is right. And so that caused me to think again. And it should also cause you to think that when I am doing that which is right before God, those who have an opposite view of God, those who detest God, those who can care less about the truth, may say, you have lost your mind. You're wrong. It doesn't take all of that. I can give you example after example of the world that we live in. And it's so sad. Friends, it's so sad that God himself, as he gave us the definition of marriage, one man and one woman, Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and following, Jesus reiterates that in Matthew 19, in verse number 4, in the beginning he made them both male and female. That eliminates every other relationship that doesn't line up with that. That's what it does. And so here, did Jesus ever speak about homosexuality? Did he ever speak about lesbianism? Yes, he did, when he talked about marriage being between a man and a woman. And let me say this, an eligible man and eligible woman. And so we consider these words and we think about, we can go down the line as it relates to the postmodern world that we live in, that your interpretation and the way that you see it and the standard that you have and the ideas that you have and the truth that you have, well, then that's good for you. But friends, that can't be it, because number one, I can't be the standard of truth. You can't be the standard of truth, because number one, we're not timeless and we're not above space. What do I mean by that? Only God, only one who is a moral being can actually be the standard of truth. And so here, Paul says, though we may seem disqualified, unapproved, rejected, worthless, friends, it is all right that people counsel us. Wow. In the counsel culture that we live in, and I find it very interesting that we find non-Christians counseling out non-Christians. Well, if they counsel out each other, you know they'll counsel us out. Amen. If we really stand where we're supposed to stand, they will counsel us out. And so that ought to cause us to ponder. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 15, notice what the Bible here says. I promise you, I'm not chasing a rabbit here. You think about the process, the thought process that God desires for us to have. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, Paul says this to the preacher, young man. He says, study. The New King James Version or translation says, be diligent. Now watch this. To show yourself approved. There's our word dokamas. To show yourself approved unto God. Unto God. The maturation of truth is the individual, the child of God, that realizes that my maturation, my standard, my approval must first come from God. And then everybody else. And so then, if I keep that in line, I will never become disqualified. Even though I may be disqualified before men, even though people may counsel me, even though people may not like where I stand, and I'm coming to learn this and coming to appreciate this more and more as I get closer and closer to the 50 mark, I need to stand where God stands, regardless of where others stand. Amen. That's a difficult place to get, because we're always trying to please people. John 12, verse 42. The religious leaders, well, they didn't obey Jesus. They didn't follow Jesus because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And so that caused me to think again, being disqualified. Do I want to be disqualified, or do I want to be approved unto God? What does it mean to maturate in the truth? What it means is to be approved unto God. But notice 2 Corinthians 13 again, and notice what he says in verse number 8. This is a very interesting verse. And I remember wrapping my mind around this verse a year or two ago and really considering this verse. For we, Paul puts himself in the equation as an apostle, also letting the church at Corinth know that we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. There is no way that we can defeat God. There's no way that we can defeat truth. If something is true, it's true. It was true when it was said. It was true when it was written. And it's true some 6,000 years later. It's still true. Friends, it's still true 2,000 years later that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. It's still true. It's still true that Paul says by inspiration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're members one of another. It's still true. It's still true in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 33 and 34, that married individuals care of the things of this world and how they may please their spouse. That's still true. It's still true that we must be a people who understand authority and that Jesus Christ has authority. Matthew 28. It's still true. It was true when it was written, and it's still true today. But then notice verse number 9. He says, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Complete? Yes, complete. Why are we complete? We're complete because of the maturation process. We're complete because we're not appearing approved. We're complete because we are approved. We may seem disqualified. And Paul in 2 Corinthians, it's very interesting that this book here, and 1 Corinthians has a little dabble of it, but this book here is all about Paul defending his apostleship. You know how it is when people don't believe you are the person that you say you are. And so, friends, don't take that personal unless it's true. But they didn't think that Paul had the right and the authority to tell them what to do. He was an apostle. In 1 Corinthians 9, in verse number 2, he says, you are the proof, the seal of my apostleship. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't even be Christians, Acts chapter 18, unless I taught you the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 16, he says, we have not overextended our authority as apostles. We have authority, and we stay within the realm of the authority that God has given us. In 2 Corinthians 12, in verse number 17, he says, I didn't take advantage of none of y'all. Here, Paul is defending his apostleship. He is telling them, I am approved. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, he says, you need to take heed at yourself. You need to be looking at yourself. Why? Lest you become disqualified. And so, again, some in this world may look at the stance that we have and say, you know what? You haven't been approved. The way you think is not right. The way that you talk is distasteful. Look at Colossians 4. Look at verses 4 through 6. Interesting. Studying with a good brother on yesterday, and we came across a passage that, after looking at the word closer, received great, great instruction. Friends, when we think about being approved, and sometimes people disqualifying us, sometimes the things that we say to people and things that are said to us, if it's said in a truthful manner, it may sting a little bit. Yikes. We live in a culture now, well, you shouldn't have said it like that because of what? Because if it's true, it's still true. Now, should it be said in a way that it is palatable? Maybe. Should it be said in a way that a person can receive it? Well, maybe. But I do know this. Notice what Paul says in Colossians 4, starting at verse number 4. Here, the Apostle Paul says, very interesting. He says, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom. Now, watch this, toward those who are outside. Redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace, favor, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, the idea of salt there, if we're not careful as the people of God, and if we don't mature in our faith, if we don't choose our words in a wise manner, we can actually do more harm to people. However, When you think about salt, salt is not just a preservation agent. No, it actually, it flavors a little bit, but it's also an antiseptic, meaning that when you put it on an open wound, guess what's going to happen? Oh, yeah, it's going to sting. When you're talking to people and you think about some of the lifestyles that's out here and you're talking to them about their lifestyle, and I can be very specific here, and here you come with the gospel of Jesus Christ talking about how you ought to be a people who are getting married, be a people who are not living in sin, be a people who are watching how you dress, being a people. And when you start talking Bible to them, next thing you know, you're offending me. Well, hold on, stop. I know one thing about salt, it preserves. I know that it has flavor, but it stings a little bit. It does sting. Well, you shouldn't have said it like that. You ran them off. Hold on. Did I run them off or did the truth run them off? And so now stop and think about this, because the maturation of truth, I have to get to a point where I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. I got to get to a point in my Christianity that I'm not the same person I was a year ago, 6 months ago, that I ought to be able to read God's word. And as I'm reading God's word, I'm hearing lessons being taught and preached, Brother Royce. And I say, wow, that really hurt me. But it was for my good. And friends, I've studied God's word for the last 20 something years. And there's some things I just take this Bible and I just close it up. I say, I can't believe I just read that and studied that. And it didn't feel good, Brother Chad. It just didn't feel good. But I know it was for my good. Amen. It was for my good. And so the maturation of truth actually teaches me, I see why people don't go to the word of God, to the light of God's word, because it does shine a light and the darkness comprehended not. I see why I don't go to the word of God like I need to, because I might read something, study something, come across something that might shine a light upon me. But then I might be able to read something, study something, come across something that sheds a light that actually helps me to have a better life later. And so, friends, salt is good. You know, I didn't make that up. Jesus said that, did he not? Salt is good. It's a good preservation agent. It's a good flavoring agent, but it's also a good antiseptic. That is all right when people put you in a position and challenge you to be a better person, to be a child of God, to be faithful in your attendance, to be faithful in your Bible study, to be faithful to your family, your wife, your husband, to be faithful as a child of God, to be faithful as a parent. You stop and you think about these things, and God is saying, I'm not really doing what I need to do, but God, I need help with that. Well, that's why we got a church. That's why we got the Bible. That's why we have a mind to think. I gave a person some passages the other day. I told you, go and you read that. They came back and say, yeah, that was right. I say, you notice I didn't give you any interpretation whatsoever. I didn't tell you what I thought about that passage. I just gave you the passage. I say, you know why I gave you that passage? I say, why? Because God gave you a mind to think. Use it. Sometimes we debilitate ourselves. We enable ourselves and enable others not to be the best that they can really be. Sometimes our own children, our spouses, our brethren, sometimes we don't want to say something because I might offend them, I might hurt them. Well, hold on. If what you're saying is true, tell me and let me deal with it. But we live in a very soft society now. Very soft. Some of y'all are soft. I mean, I'm telling you what it is. Some of you are soft. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just being honest. Some of you are soft. Now, think about this. What is best for us sometimes may hurt. I remember as a kid going to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, it's going to hurt you. I remember getting a haircut one time. They ain't trying to be funny. God cut my hair and nicked me in the back of my neck. Evelyn, you remember that? Man, I could have shot him. Probably should have said that. But let me tell you what happened. This is a true story. To the point that the hair ingrown in the back of my neck, and the doctor went to the emergency room, and he cut a little small incision. But it was still getting infected. And the doctor said, I can't cut you again. It'll be worse. I'm going to have to dig in there and get it out. And that's what he did. And he said, this is going to hurt you. I don't know how it is to have a baby. I don't. And never will. Don't have the biologicals to have one. That's a good point right there. Yeah, anyway. That hurt. But he said, if you don't get this done, that infection is going to kill you. And brethren, we're at a point where we would rather have the infection than somebody actually tell us something that's going to actually help us grow. And that's why this society we live in, if we're not careful, we won't grow in it. But God's people will grow because they're connected to the truth. And everything that God does is for our good. And so he dug it out and he put galls in it. He put galls in it. I'm like, man, I didn't want to kill the doctor. It was the barber. There's a lesson in that, too. Watch who you go to. All right. All that's introduction. Let's get to preaching point one. What does an approved life look like? What does it look like? Real quick points, friends. You go back and you read the passages, because I believe I've set the tone of these particular passages. Number one, it's a faithful, far-sighted, and focused life. It's a faithful, far-sighted, and focused life. Not nearsighted, not unfruitful, not unfocused. Friends, it's a faithful, far-sighted, and focused life. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10 and 11, we'll just focus on those passages. Because when we consider these great passages, and I believe our dear brother Ryan, he preached on these particular aspects, and we appreciate the work he's doing here already. Friends, when we understand that we need to be adding these things to our faith to help us grow, that these things are really good for us. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, the things that Brother Ryan preached on the first week concerning the maturation of truth, the things that the Apostle Peter just demonstrated in the first 9 verses, you will never stumble. You'll never fall away. You'll never be estranged from Christ. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Literally, in the Greek, you have a clear path to glory. Wow. Friends, I believe that many, because of the Christendom that we live around, we don't take Christianity as serious. Why? Because we're not growing. Friends, we got to spend time with God in meditation and in prayer and in fellowship with God and his people and teach our children the same. Number two, it's a walking in the spirit life. It's a walking in the spirit life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 5. I want you to notice something in Galatians 5 and verse 16. Very interesting passage. Familiar passage to all of us. I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the spirit? To walk according to the word or the law of God. Romans 8 verse 1 and 2. And then he talks about those things that you shouldn't be involved with. That's the works of the flesh. And he says they're manifest, they're evident, they're easily seen. Friends, when you see these things in the world, already know these are estranged from God. They don't have nothing to do with God. But in verse 22, it's interesting. But the results, the product, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, why are these attitudes so important? Because that's what they are. They're attitudes. Because this is the only individual, watch it now, this is the only individual that is qualified to help someone out of sin. I made a bold claim there, did I not? If you're not living this type of way, you have no right to bring no one else out. Jesus even said that himself in a certain way. You have a beam in your eye, or a speck in your eye, rather. You need to take that out. Did I get that right? Take the beam out of your eye and before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. I think that's right. But watch this. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 6. I know that's a bold claim. Watch this. Brethren, if a person is overtaken in a fault, a trespass, you who are what? Spiritual. Who is spiritual? The ones that have the fruit of the Spirit. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. A walking in the Spirit life is so important, because when the truth is properly understood and applied to one's life, it causes that person's mind to be mature, growing, thriving. Number 3, the dokema life, the approved life, is a suffering for Christ life. A suffering for Christ life. 1 Peter 2:18-24, very powerful. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 for time's sake. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, do you think sometimes that your suffering is a suffering that is worth it? The mental anguish sometimes that the Christian go through is very difficult, depending on how many individuals they deal with. Depending on their prayer life, meditation life, study life, how they handle suffering. And it's about the attitude, because in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. So it's the attitude. The attitude has to be right. So as you're going through the suffering, and Brother Chad did a wonderful job talking about Christ this morning, just reading the passages and how even Christ was afraid. My God, why have you forsaken me? I'm suffering. 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. It's not even for sins that I've committed, but sins of the world. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. Notice, we have to teach our children this, that it's all right to suffer a little bit. You know, it's all right to let your children suffer. It's all right to let them go through some things. It's okay. Our Father in heaven allows us to go through some things. Why? He wants to make sure that we are approved. We're trying to live with God throughout eternity. This life is not just it. We got more to come. Yea, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. First century church suffered persecution, Acts chapter 8. Yet, because of the persecution of Saul as he is persecuting the church, the church was scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. They suffered a little bit, but it didn't stop them from doing the will of God, just like it doesn't stop us. This great people that are here this morning, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a people who are faithful to God. But it's tough. All of the inconsistencies around us, it gets tough sometimes. And so you got to concentrate on, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I being faithful to God? Why am I studying the scriptures? Why am I holding myself in? Why am I keeping myself to marriage? Why am I doing these things? Why? Because I want to hear well done. I want to be approved. I don't want to seem approved. I don't want people just look at me and say, man, he's a Christian. No, I want God to know that I'm a Christian. Because some people can show that they are, but not necessarily be. And so, number 4, what does an approved life look like? It's a hopeful life. An approved life is a life that will not end in disappointment and discouragement nor despair. Romans 5. Look at Romans 5:1-5. In Romans 5:1-5, I just get so excited reading Romans 5. It's just so exciting to read Romans 5. Notice, therefore, having been justified, meaning declared right by faith, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we have peace with God. You want peace? We got to have peace. When you don't have peace, you got trouble and turmoil. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope, there it is, of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And notice something about hope: it doesn't disappoint. It doesn't leave you in despair. It doesn't leave you discouraged. It always keeps you looking ahead. Got the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Brother Royce did a wonderful job talking about the resurrection in John chapter 11. I'm the resurrection and the life. Friends, if Jesus can raise men from the dead, friends, he can give us a hope that's beyond this world. And so people are getting so caught up in the things of this world that they're losing focus on the hope. But notice what he says. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God, yes, he has given us his will. He has given us eternal life. He has given us an identity. Last but definitely not least, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the approved life is a finishing strong life. And this is probably more for the older members, but for all of us. Paul is at the end of his life. And it's interesting that he's telling this young gospel preacher in verse number 6, for I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. Not to me only. This is where we come in to play. But to all them also that love his appearing. Friends, the older I get, the closer I get to the judgment day, the happier I get. Thankful. Regardless of what may come our way. Friends, we got the word of God. Let them take the Bibles. That's fine. Put it in your heart. Psalm 119, verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Download the word of God in your heart. Paul said, I fought it. I'm at the end of my course. I stayed faithful. The approved life is a faithful life that continues to look to the hills from whence cometh their help. The help cometh from the Lord. And friends, we need one another. We are a people who are striving to be mature. Some of y'all have been in the Lord a long time. Hold fast. Hold tight. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. And all through the books of the Bible, we find this exhortation, this encouragement, this admonishment to hang in there. Don't be like Demas, who at one time the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, Demas greets you. Yet in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9 and following, he says, Demas has forsaken me for this present world. Hold on. Don't leave. If you have left the Lord, maybe you're back. Or repent. Why? Because you want to be approved. We know about approval. We know how it is to fill out an application in hopes that we are approved by the bank. And when we're not, we're disappointed. Friends, you don't have to be disappointed in Christ. Mm-mm. You can have the hope of eternal salvation. And for us as the people of God, what will it require? Don't be satisfied where you are right now spiritually. Keep on growing. The more you grow, watch this. I'm done. This is free. You ain't got to give me nothing for this. The more you grow, your speech will change. The way that you see the world that we live in will change for the better. Your attire will change when you grow. You'll stop getting piercings and all those other stuff that you see the world doing when you grow. When you grow spiritually, you do things that the Spirit teaches you to do. And so your anger begins to subside. Your joy begins to rise. Friends, this is Bible. You want to spend more time with Jehovah and Jehovah's people. Why? Because you're growing. You're growing. And so the more of God's word you get in your heart, the more it's displayed in your life. And again, how do I know that I believe in God? I show it. I show it. Many people have a mental and verbal assent, a belief. In John 1 and verse number 12, Brother Royce brought this out. Jesus was the one that gave them power to become children of God. He gave them the power to become children of God, but that's not the point in which you become a child of God. The point in which one becomes a child of God is through belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. That's when one becomes a child of God. And when one becomes a child of God, then one has the responsibility to continue to grow and look more and more like Jesus. And then you got little Jesus is running around thinking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, responding like Jesus, wanting to live with Jesus in the end. Maybe you're not a child of God and you want to be baptized. You want to study more. Let us study with you. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Why? Because God wants to add you to his Son's church, the church of Christ. He wants you to be faithful even to the point of death. He wants you to be approved. Don't justify yourself because you can't. Only God can justify that. And he justifies by the gospel. He justified by the blood of Christ. He justifies you in his mind. He says, he's saved. She's saved. Maybe a child of God and you're growing, but you're just not growing like you really need to because you're not really putting in the work. That happens. It happens to me. I get lazy sometimes. I get just downright lazy. Like, boy, get yourself up and get to work. I got to tell myself that. You got to tell yourself that? I got to tell myself that. Why? Because I get lazy sometimes. And then you get jump started. And next thing you know, you're growing again, memorizing passages, being a little bit more forgiving, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more joy, a little bit more love, and you just keep continue to grow and be the person that God wants you to be as you mature. God's word is developing and maturing in your life, and you find yourself growing more. You want to feast on the word of God as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.